What was that?
Yeah, I said you're still getting out and about and going mobile a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I left a little early today, and yeah, it's been a kind of a long day. I stopped in there at Harbor Freight for a little bit, looked around, and went and drilled. I really hate that place.
Yeah, I know. We got ducks. Started out with 3, then we bought another 12. Then it was had to go down and buy a pond. Then it was down had to go down and get a postal digger to break the ground to get the pond in. And the old drill pump just wasn't working right, so then had to go back down to Harbor Freight again and turn on a spend about $100 in hose and hose and a pump to pump the pond out when they get it filthy. Yeah, I know about hating that place.
Yeah, never seems that any time you go in there, you ever just walk out with nothing. You always got to get something.
That's about the way it is. Even Linda's the same way, though. We go in there for one thing, and we walk out with 5.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And 5 is just on a slow day.
Yep, it is. Especially around here, with the kids still living at home, they get into my rollaway tool chest, and every time I go in to get something, everything's missing. So it's like, well, before we went down and got the pump for the pond, I went down and I bought 3 pairs of channel locks, 3 more utility knives, 3 more measuring tapes, 3 more pairs of pliers, 3 more crescent wrenches. And Linda says, what are you getting all that for? I said, because I'm tired. Every time I go out in my toolbox, there's nothing left.
Yeah, especially the dang tape measures. Them things have a way of disappearing even right in front of you.
Yeah, that's no lie, because what me and Linda tried doing was she bought one that had green markings on it. I had my Stanley with my yellow labels on it. I had 3 Stanleys out there. And we turned around and bought orange ones from Harbor Freight, bought 2 of them, and just about, I think it was last week or the week before, I go in to grab a tape measure, and there's absolutely none there. I go into the kitchen, into the tool drawer, there's none there. I'm sitting here, this is ridiculous. So I just went down. Linda said she had wanted to pick up something. I forget, she was getting something from Harbor Freight, I think a flat free wheel. I went down there and I just stocked up. It was like $120 in tape measures and open-end wrenches. I got needle nose pliers, regular pliers, wire cutters, channel locks. I just loaded up.
Break.
Go, Break.
Yeah, this is WRUZ 674 Alpha, and my dad had similar problems with my brother and I, and this was many years ago now, but I was son one, and my brother was, of course, son two, and we're 10 months apart, but when we started twisting wrenches, we were always scabbing tools out of dad's drawer, so he went down and bought us all a brand new set of tools at Sears. And in all mine, he ground 1 notch. In all my brother's, he ground 2 notches. And in all of his, he ground 3 notches. So, I don't know. Do you see where this is going?
Yeah, I definitely do. But we have 2 tool sheds here. 3 tool sheds, actually. And the wife has her tool drawer in the kitchen, which is a pretty good-sized drawer. And nobody's allowed in that, but everybody's allowed into everything else.
Well, what Dad used to do is then he basically got two sets of backup tools for everything he needed. So anytime he'd lose a tool, he'd just steal one of my brother's or mine or my brother's and grind a couple extra notches in it, one or two, and then he had a new tool.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, I got taught any mechanics, fishing, hunting, gardening, and everything from my granddad and his best friend, Alvin, which they both worked for Southern Pacific Railroad. And their rule was, you borrow one tool at a time. You borrow that tool, you do not get the next tool until the next tool comes back. But if I was around all the time, I would implement something like that, but it's almost impossible throughout the day at this place.
Yeah, well, I was raised on a farm, and my dad always taught me there's three things you never loan out: tools, guns, or your wife.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Except for when it comes to the kids. You know, it's not like you're lending them to friends or anything else, but, and I do occasionally with real good friends, but anyway, kids are a different story. You want to help them out, you want to keep them going, and you want to teach them, so they're going to end up using them.
Indeed, and you can probably add the tractor in there too. Don't loan that out ever either, so... All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. I just was chuckling when I heard you guys talking about that. So, all right, WREZ 674 off. I'll be clearing on the side.
674, you have a good one. Yeah, I know what you mean as far as the tractor. I mean, we don't have actual tractors, but we got tillers, and we have John Deere, and a couple of John Deeres, and kids have access to that too. So anyway, you have a good one. WSBT 889 Klamath. Yeah, and we're back to Jim. You still there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, you didn't tell me you was going to Harbor Freight.
But I roll past it every day. So, you know, it's one of those things to kind of slide in there.
I'm just going by the other day when I said that me and the wife was down at Harbor Freight. He said, "You should have told me. I'd have met you down there."
Yeah, because when you told me that, well, actually, I think you were still in the store, wasn't you?
No, we had just got back. We just got back to the property. Yeah, we had already picked up, we were actually after the pump and some other stuff for the duck's pond and stuff.
Yeah, because I just went by there, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 minutes before that. So, yeah, I could have rolled in there and come across you then.
Next time I stop in there, which, I don't know, could be this weekend. I'll let you know. I'll give you a heads up.
All right, cool. So I think I'm going back there tomorrow.
Yeah, I might. Let me know if you go down. I might go down there because I'm thinking of possibly upgrading. I got a 1,500 gallon per hour pump for this pond. I've been thinking about possibly upgrading to a trash pump that's got like 2.5 inch of diameter to where I can just get this thing over with instead of sitting there waiting. Even that, the pump I got, it's a decent pump, submersible, but even at 1,500 gallons per hour, it's taken probably 15 minutes, 16 minutes, I guess, to empty it. And I know I've used those trash pumps before, and they'll empty that thing in a matter of about 2-3 minutes instead of standing around waiting for it to empty.
Well, yeah, but it takes about a half hour to take it and prime it.
Yeah, not if you take the inlet or the outlet and dump it until your outlet's filled and start it while you got it at a higher elevation than the pump. Yeah, I've used them before. We used to use them on fire and water restoration. I used to estimate, and I was one of the division managers for Mark Went back when we used to do a lot of fire and water restoration for his insurance division. I was the general manager for it. Yeah, they worked, though.
Yeah, I've used a bunch of them, too. We ended up putting on a foot valve on there. That way you could prime it up a little faster than that.
Yeah, I thought about something like that on a duck pond, but... Yeah, I don't know. I know they go through a lot of water. I'll guarantee that.
Oh, no doubt.
The problem I got is I'm having to pump it like every 3 days because I've got those water boats in it, and I'm not sure if they're good for ducks or safe for ducks or anything else, but now that pond's out there and it's sitting next to the white peach tree, but it's still getting, you know, some pretty good sun, so that water's hot and it builds up algae. The algae's not the problem. I'm just worried about them water boats that are swimming around in there and laying eggs. So I make sure I pump it out every 3 days.
Yeah. Or you could take it. I don't know if you could take it and use a, if you put like a one below it and let it siphon into that and it just kind of let it circulate back around and let it kind of aerate and stuff. See if that would help.
I don't think it's going to stop those water boats. I think that one of the reasons why the water boats are getting in there, whoever's laying the eggs to it, I'm not sure what the actual adult is, but it's well water that's going in there, so it's not chlorinated like city water or anything else. So they're really enjoying it, believe me.
Oh, I bet you they are. Yeah, especially ducks. I mean, they love being in the water.
Now, I was talking about the water boats. I know you've seen them at the lakes and stuff. No, the water boats are absolutely loving the water because it's warm. It's got algae, it's got feed for them, and it's well water. It's not chlorinated. So them water boats are just, I pumped it out about 3 days ago, and I'm going to pump it out tomorrow. And I bet you that pump sucked up like at least 50 or 60 of those water boats in that pond.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They always seem, you know, I mean, I've even seen them get in chlorinated water if you leave enough of it out there.
Yeah, I hear that. But anyway, I mean, like I'm saying, they're really loving it because it's, you know, nice clean water. And we've got one heck of a deep well on this property. And, yeah, it's really stable. We actually had it, we put a new pump in, new electrical, new PEX. We had a new bladder tank put in it. And the, I forget, the depth of the well was 300 and something feet. And our pump was only sitting at 100. And the chancellor was the original well driller here. His dad, Colton Chancellor, came out and did this new one here a couple of years ago, and he showed me the paperwork on the original well that his dad did and showed me a picture of him sitting in our pump house. He was only about 8 years old holding a big old pipe wrench, and at that time, literally 35, 36 years ago, the water level dropped less than literally dropped less than 4 feet in 36 plus years.
Well, I mean, you said the well was over 300 feet, and they only put the pump down 100 foot. At least they give you room to drop the pipe down some more.
Yeah, well, with the size of the property, the people that we got it from didn't take care of it, so we did. We went from a half horsepower pump to we went to a 1 horsepower, I think 1 1/4 horse, and we did put in a bigger outlet line and came up with a couple more lines to go to all the different gardens, the 4 different gardens that I've got going, and up to the chickens to their free range area and all that good stuff. But yeah, right. It only, I mean, in 36, 37 years, it dropped them less than 4 feet, and that thing is like 310, 315 feet. And the original pump was set at, he said it was set at, I think it was 110, and he set it at 120. And our whole neighborhood here on this side of the road on the county side is all on that same aquifer. That's one heck of an aquifer.
Yeah, I remember the last well that my grandmother drilled. They went down, I think it was like 360 feet. The other two wells that were, they had one that was down 1,200 feet, and the other one was, I think, 150 or 200 foot, and they couldn't keep enough water. When they finally drilled this third well, they had plenty of water.
Yeah, I hear that. But that's pretty surprising for the amount of people that's on this aquifer here. It's unbelievable that in 36, 37 years, I mean, from they dropped a measuring device all the way to the bottom and then brought it back up, and basically once it, I guess it breaks the continuity, it tells them basically what from the bottom to the top. And then when he came back, when Chancellor came back and turned around and says, you know, since my dad originally installed this 30 plus years ago, he says, the water level in this aquifer hasn't dropped but about just under 4 feet. And in 37 years, that's phenomenal for the amount of people that's on that same aquifer and the wells on this county side.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for a well, for being that old, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep, but anyway, I don't know, we just figured it was time. We're having a little bit of flow issues with the septic and having intermittent issues with the control panel going out on the well, so we just turned around and spent, I think it was $11,000, and just had the well completely redone, had the septic completely redone, and now we've got brand new everything in it as of, well, 2 and 3 years ago we had it done. So, yeah, it's a little ease of mind, a little peace of mind on the head, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to have problems with your well. So, yeah, anytime it, you know, something's going on, you want to make sure you take care of it right away.
I hear that. Yeah, well, there's a lot of difference in having the property and not having the property. I got a friend of mine and his wife that live about a mile and a half down the road. And hindsight's a big thing. They're on well, and they're on the same aquifer that we're on, and they also have septic. The unfortunate thing about it is what this guy, what this friend of mine did, he built this huge greenhouse. about 30 feet by about 50 feet. And he built it over his septic. Now this whole thing has to come out in order for him to get anything done with his septic.
Oh, yeah. Usually you got to be like 75 or 100 feet away from any kind of septic, and you got to be uphill from them.
Well, that's normally true, but that's as far as the leach lines. As far as the tank itself with new polypropylene tanks, Klamath County actually requires the septic to be within 15 feet of the house, but the leach lines have to be, I think it's 30 yards out. And, I mean, we meet that no problem. But he didn't think he was ever going to have a problem with his septic. And now all of a sudden he's having problems with his septic, and nobody wants to touch it. They're telling him, tear the greenhouse down, and we'll turn around and get your septic pulled out, get it replaced, and get it fixed, whether it's baffles or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I was used to those old concrete ones that are heavier and crap. Of course, that's what's going in them.
Some of them on the outskirts of the county are still doing concrete. Ours was steel, and the last time we had it pumped out, we had like 3 or 4 leaks. And we turned around and put a scope down in it and looked at it and had some friend of ours, Walt Jones, with his construction company, and he does a lot of septics. He came out and dropped the camera down and lit the place up, and we could see a lot of areas on that steel tank that was just rusted, and we could see it was real weak and about ready to go and mud seeping in after it was pumped out. So we got another company out, a buddy of his, with cameras, ran them down the leach lines. The leach lines were fine. We've never even busted the first leach line because our leach lines are about 150, 160 feet long, 3 of them long, break. But when they ran the camera from the septic tank down in it and got an overall view of it, and then snaked that camera down to the leach lines, the leach lines going out to the field was fine, but the tank was just shot. So we put one in, and we actually upgraded it from 1,000 to 1,500 gallon in case we turn around and build a little bit bigger here. And yeah, so yeah, it was due. It was worth the money.
Yeah. I think the first time I ever put in one of those poly tanks, got it all set and everything, and got it buried and everything, and the next morning it was sitting on top of the ground.
That sounds like a water table issue.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. So, if pull it back out and dig the hole back out, put it back in there, and then fill it full of water, and then cover it back up. It's all the way you can keep them in the ground.
I hear that. I know around Sprague River, Williamson River, they're pretty critical on that as far as the type of systems they go in. And they're really critical on the sand filtration systems for the leach lines, basically for the filtration of the aftermath.
Yeah, I was down in Kootenai Lake, and yeah, the water table in places down there is really high.
Yeah, that stands to reason. Tule Lake, a lot of marsh, yep. It does have a real high water table. Alrighty, Jim, I figured I'd holler at you. I'm in the office now. I'm on the HT, but I'm going to get in there and give Mama a hand doing dishes and then figure out what we're going to do for dinner, and then we got to start feeding animals. So definitely wanted to check on you and make sure everything was going all right, and we will talk to you after a while.
Okay, John. Well, you have a good evening and everything, and I will talk with you later. WRZN 509.
WSBT 889, we're monitoring and doing dishes.